Ghostbusters.
Oh, conductors in the metaphysical.
Okay, cool. See ya.
Hey, guys, which one of these makes me look more like a doctor?
Who is on the phone?
The Stonebrook Theater. There's a goat on the loose.
This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com, your podcast app of choice, or you can get the whole on the go with our Apple or Android apps. We have a new episode every week, but this is a special episode of our show as we are discussing the new 2016 version of Ghostbusters. What we think of the new movie, what we liked, what we didn't like, character story, and even about the unprecedented internet chastising the movie has received. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today is Justin McCumber.
Busted makes me feel good.
You sound just like him.
I know.
So close. I do want to say real quick, we should probably do like a spoiler free since this is kind of function as our reviews in the movie. Yeah. Well, just real quick. Before we get into the spoilers section, I do want to say what the movie is about. It's following a ghost invasion of Manhattan because it is a little different than the original movie. It's a remake, but it's different. Following a ghost invasion of Manhattan, paranormal enthusiasts Aaron Gilbert and Abby Yates, nuclear engineer Jillian Holtzman, and subway worker Patty Tolan band together to stop the otherworldly threat, which we won't tell you what that threat is until we get past this part. So I guess
spoilers, it's ghosts.
What? Shh. You just gave the whole movie away. Paul Feig was like trying to keep that under wraps and bam. What did you, spoiler free-ish, now that you've seen the movie, what did you think of the movie before we get into the good stuff?
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. If anybody read the review I wrote for the website, they already know. I went in pretty expectation-free-less. I knew the people who worked on it were people who had entertained me many times in the past. I had really no fears that this was in the wrong hands. And when I came out of the theater, I was just smiling ear to ear. It was really, really funny. You know, it, as every movie does, it's got some things that could have, you know, been done maybe better, been different. But for the most part, I think this was a respectful rebooting of the franchise that seems to have gotten the approval of all of the previous Ghostbusters from the original series. And I don't know if I could have been happier with what I saw.
Wow. Well, you could always have been happier. There could have been lightsabers.
That needs to be Holtzman's next weapon.
A ghost saber.
Oh crap. That's awesome.
Make it happen. Paul Feig, you can make that happen. Same thing, man. I went into, well, you know, we've been talking about the internet and what this movie hath brought up with it. But we'll talk about that a little bit later because, you know, we'll talk about the movie first. But, man, I've never been against it. It was more like, well, let's see what happens. I mean, you've got Paul Feig, and he assembled a cast of some of the most popular comedians working today. So I don't really understand why people assumed it was going to be awful. But that's where a lot of people went. We'll talk about what we think, why we think that is a little later. But right now, let's talk about the movie. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I will say that I was with a couple people who were naysayers, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. So I do think it's winning people over. I mean, the reviews are really, really good, and people that saw it seem to enjoy it. So, you know, if you have a dour look on it, give it a shot.
Definitely.
What did you give it out of, if you $10 is the full price of admission, what did you give it?
I gave it an $8. All right. $8.
$8. I gave it $7. So there you go. There's a spoiler-free versions of what we thought. Now we're getting into spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie, or you know you don't want to be anything to be ruined, then hold off because now we're into it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now the gloves are off. What did you think overall of this new Ghostbuster story?
I was really glad that they didn't try to just copy the first movie. That it wasn't Gozer the Gozerian and all of that other stuff, that they went a completely different route and made the bad guy a person. mm-hmm. rather than just a metaphysical threat. This was a person who brought that threat on. That's one of the missed opportunities I felt like. I wish we could have gotten a little bit more from his perspective. But all in all, I thought it was really just well done, because it was surprising me all over the place. And I felt like it was, as I said earlier, respectful of the original, but it went its own path in some different ways. And I appreciated that. One of the things, though, that really intrigues me, and I'm wondering that, you know, should this movie succeed well enough for Sony to do another one, is this introduction of the idea that the federal government is aware of these paranormal threats. They mm-hmm. were aware of kind of what was going on in New York, though they seem to have really no means at their disposal to fight it. They were just aware of it, and then they came with all their regular handguns, pew-pews.
The pew-pew machines.
Pew-pew machines. But by the end of the film, you get the impression that not only is the federal government okay with our Ghostbusters, but they're actually, I don't know if you'd say they're totally funding them now, but they're definitely kicking some filthy lucre over their way.
Oh, yeah.
and helping them to become better Ghostbusters. And I like that. I'm wondering where that might go.
Yeah, they're definitely kicking some scratch that way. And, you know, it's one of those things where when the movie started, I really liked the introduction, you know, how they redid it. It wasn't just a librarian. I mean, they told a really solid ghost story. I like the face Bonet. Like, what is that? So definitely I get one of those, by the way. And I like that introduction. I thought it was a pretty cool introduction. The story itself, there are so many nods to the original, respectful nods to the original. And the fact that they incorporated somehow to get the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in there, got cameos from all the Ghostbusters in there. In fact, even having, you know, Mr. Lead Ghostbuster be the debunker, I thought that was pretty clever. And then using the logo against them. I thought that was kind of a really clever touch. I thought that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody agreed with me. Some people were saying that was a little cheesy. I thought that was great. I just love that idea that the slogan or this visual aesthetic we've been used to for so many decades now is basically that's the monster. So you saw mm-hmm. it the whole time. You already knew what the big bad was. We just didn't know that it was there. I thought that was really clever.
Mm-hmm.
As for, you know, you brought up the human aspect of it. When he first started, you know, saying his crazyisms at the beginning, I'm like, what? What the hell is this? I don't know if it was his delivery or the way it was worded, but it really, it's kind of like that first 15 minutes as a whole didn't really work for me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But after we got a little bit more of him and he got to deliver his monologue while he's, you know, committing suicide or whatever, where as all villains do, and of course, he had plenty of time to turn around three times. Then he worked a lot better for me. Like, he really worked for me. But before that, it was that part I was a little. So we're going to get a little bit more into the story as we dive into here. But I want to know what your favorite moments are first.
Well, this is something that Scotty maybe wishes he was here for, because I'm going to bring up that they made a video game for the Ghostbusters. The original Busters came out, what, 3-4 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good.
On current consoles, and it was good. But one of the things it introduced were the idea of different weapons, that it wasn't just your proton pack, but you had these other weapons at your disposal. And while in the original film, you had the proton pack, and then in the second film, you had the proton pack and then the slime projector. I like that in this one, they didn't keep to just one or two weapons. That anytime Holtzman was on screen explaining some new piece of technology, I was really entertained. Kate McKinnon is, to me, the highlight of this movie. I think she steals
absolutely
just about every scene she's in. She is such a badass character. And I enjoyed seeing her talk about the science behind these, you know, wacky science, of course, but the science of ghost busting. So anytime she was on the screen, I was happy. When Patty walked into that room of nightmares with, you know, all of those mannequins. And my mind, of course, instantly goes to Silent Hill.
Yeah.
I thought that was hysterical when she turned around and ran. And when the dean was going off on Abby and the other girls and basically kicking them out of his crappy little school, not the Charles Dance dean, but Steve Higgins' character, the dean of that crap school.
The guy from Jimmy Fallon.
The middle fingers.
The guy from Jimmy Fallon's, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. He was so funny. I mean, just would not stop with flipping the bird. Such a funny scene.
That's about when the story started working for me. Because I'm telling you, that first 15 minutes, man, which I'll save my why I don't like that.
And you mean after the intro?
Yeah, scene after the intro.
Zach Woods in the house. And the.
Yep, absolutely. It's that scene, like when we first get introduced to Kristen Wiig, and then when we end up in that the middle finger office. Can you call it that? The bird office.
Yeah, we'll call it the bird office.
My favorite moments are definitely, man, I know you weren't a fan of Hemsworth. I loved Hemsworth in this movie. The wearing the glasses with no lenses thing was, I mean, he was just so ridiculous. And I love, and I do think. To be fair, if this was flipped and it was like a bunch of guys, the female receptionist, everybody would probably be complaining about how sexist it was. But I loved it. I thought it was hysterical that we've got basically this beefcake that everybody's drooling over and he's a total idiot. He has no business being there. The only reason he's got a job is because he's pretty. I like that. And I thought he was really funny. And McKinnon, like you said, stole every scene. She didn't have the one thing that this movie didn't have that the other movie, the original had, was a lot of clever one-liners that I'm going to remember for years to come. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of that's Bill Murray, too. And here, they might not have had so many one-liners, but her inflection and her randomness with how she presented whatever line she had were just fantastic. I mean, she made it a character.
Yeah. Where, she looked like she was having a blast.
Oh, absolutely. And just being weird. So weird. I think Wiig had to be the straight woman, pretty much. And mm-hmm. McCarthy, we'll talk about the cast here in a second. But the my favorite parts were that. And I love the using the logo. I thought that was great. I liked the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man crushing him. That was pretty funny. And there were some genuine scares. I think it was scarier than the original. Like
Think so?
Some aspects. Yeah, I do.
That was one of the few areas where I felt like it was a little missed opportunity is I don't really recall, you know, other than the opening with Zach Woods where he's falling off these stairs and see something horrific. I didn't really get much of a sense of horror out of this movie, whereas in the original, it had moments that felt genuinely kind of frightening, whether it was the refrigerator scene or Rick Moranis' character being chased around New York. I didn't think it was that scary, but hey, mileage differs.
Well, I didn't think it was terrifying. I just thought there were some jump moments, and the ghosts, mm-hmm. I think, were way better. The trailer, I get, you know, got a lot of flack, and it didn't look good to a lot of people. I think the effects work in the movie.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah, I do think in the trailer it doesn't necessarily play, but I think a lot of CGI. The Warcraft, it looked awful in the trailer. You go to the movie, and it looked great. I think sometimes that's just how it works. And the ghosts here, the design was pretty fantastic for the most part. So I was a big fan of the ghost designs. I liked how they paid homage to the original stuff. I liked Bill Murray getting kicked out a window. I thought that was pretty great. So those are definitely my favorite moments. At any time McKinnon was on screen, like anything she did, anything. Mm-hmm. And I liked the tease. Did you stay through the credits, I assume?
Yeah, the last one I saw was where she was talking about warning lights are for dudes.
No, I mean, did you stay for the stinger after the credits where they talk about Zool, I assume?
Oh.
You didn't stay through the credits?
I thought I stayed far enough in.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Apparently not.
Spoiler. If you stay through the credits, they get a recording of some name called Zool. Obviously setting up a sequel. So now you got to go see it again, Justin.
Well, I'd already planned that, but now extra reason to.
Exactly. All right, let's start with the cast. Let's go through these. What did you think about Kristen Wiig as Erin?
You know, every movie has to have a straight person. You know, in the previous film, that was Harold Ramis' character. Even though he was funny in his kind of on the spectrum delivery of things, mm-hmm. I think Kristen Wiig kind of had to be that straight person. But she is such a funny person that you can't suppress that long. And anytime, this was the only reason I might give Kevin some slack, is because when he was on screen, usually she was lusting around him. Mm-hmm. And that was really funny. Her reaction to him was funny.
Yeah. Man, I love Kristen Wiig. I love her to death. She is one of the best ad-libbers I've ever seen on film. I know, you know, some people might not be fans. I don't care. I love the woman. So maybe it was my expectations. I didn't expect her to be the straight person for most of the movie. And she is for most of the movie. She doesn't really pop off. I guess I kind of expected her to be the Bill Murray-ish role, maybe. But the first 15 minutes or so, when they're introducing her character, she just came across as such a stiff. And it didn't feel like Kristen Wiig. It just felt like any insert actress here. And mm-hmm. and that was probably what my biggest problem was with her at the beginning. But then she settled into the role, and I think things started to gel, like really started to gel. And she was fine by the end. I just wish they would have let her be more her to a degree.
Yeah, well, but I guess the reason that her character worked for me was that when she was presented with this book that was actually published, that she thought was never going to be published, her fear of losing her opportunity to be tenured, she could feel her career slipping through her fingers with this thing, felt real, and it felt honest. She felt like someone who had once had belief in something and had kind of lost it, mm-hmm. and who felt betrayed by her friend. And when it comes to these kinds of movies, usually it's the more scientifically minded characters that are going to be the straight person. But Kristen Wiig is such a funny individual that even when she's being straight, there's still something funny about her being the straight person. But it was nice at the end to really kind of see her break free and smile huge, because now the whole world knows ghosts exist. She's been vindicated. And they've succeeded in saving the world.
I do want to add, her hair, I don't know what it was a little different than she normally has it. And I was like, wow, well, good choice, Kristen.
Except for the end?
Yeah, not the end. No. They came out all Golden Girls and what the hell. All right, now this is kind of a up and down for me, this character. When you think of Melissa McCarthy as Abby, and we've gone on record, you ever listen to the podcast, Justin and I both love Melissa McCarthy. Does her shtick sometimes get old? I think sometimes, but I also think comedians don't, you know, a lot of dramatic actors play the same character in every role. Nobody gives them a lot of flack. She's consistently funny to me. When I'm watching this movie and she's playing Abby, obviously she's the Dan Aykroyd character. She's the person that's very, very knowledgeable of the science, and she's spouting off random things that make no sense to me. The only difference I got was Dan Aykroyd in the original Ghostbusters, and it's probably not fair to compare, but I'm going to because it's a very similar character. When he was spouting all that randomness off, I believed it. I was sold in it. Whenever Melissa McCarthy is doing that part of it, that's that part of the role, just that part, all I kept thinking was, man, you've never said these words aloud in your life. Because you just don't believe it. Do you agree, disagree? Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, first, I got to disagree in that for me, I can see why her character would be more the Aykroyd character, but her personality is much more Bill Murray than it is Dan Aykroyd. She's the one who's got more of the funny one-liners, who's got the reactions that kind of Bill Murray had in the original films. So that's kind of where I saw her. See, what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to take each actor and character and say, okay, they are the equivalent of this person, right, or of this person, because it creates comparisons that I don't necessarily think are fair. Mm-hmm. And with her character in particular, I think she does kind of cover two different characters at once. And I think she had the harder job of making everything flow, of making sure that it seemed believable. And, you know, we were able to get over that wall of disbelief. And for me, she worked. Sure, some of the nomenclature and the jargon, it sounded better coming from Aykroyd, just because he had that kind of engineer scientist look and feel vibe. to him. Mm-hmm. But all in all, I was still really pleased with her character and her performance. Not as funny as maybe it could have been, but on the whole, I think Melissa McCarthy is a great comedic actress, and I think she improves just about anything she's in just by being there.
She did. And I wasn't saying she's like she is Aykroyd, but that's the biggest comparison, is because Aykroyd had a lot of that mm-hmm. jargon and that rambling in the original, and she's got it here. But whenever she does that, it took me out just a little bit, because I'm like, ah, man, you're reading that. You tried so hard to memorize that. I give you credit, but it's obvious you don't understand some of it. So
I didn't understand most of it.
I don't understand any of it. None of it. I'm just like, all right, I'll go with that. Yep, sure. That sounds good. Okay, so Patty Tolan, Leslie Jones. There were many people that are not a fan of hers on Saturday Night Live, or that are fans of hers on Saturday Night Live. I don't know where you stand, but what did you think of her contribution here?
I love her. I love that kind of larger-than-life personality that some people are capable of producing, and she's one of them. She seems like the kind of person that says what they think, doesn't really care what anyone thinks about that. And there were some moments where I wish maybe she could have had more screen time mm-hmm. than she got. But being that she was, you know, the fourth member to come on, much like Winston Zeddemore was in the original movie, even though she came on, I think, a little earlier than he did, I wish she could add more to do. But sometimes less is more. And maybe with her kind of character and delivery, you know, if you just throw too much at the screen, then she just becomes a cliche. But I enjoyed her. I enjoyed her quite a bit, especially her ability to exercise a demon. That's pretty tough stuff.
Slap it. The panel
where Patsy compels you.
The one thing I really liked about how they chose to do this story is, you know, she contributed. I always felt like shortchanged for Winston, because he's yeah. really just, you know, the janitor almost. I mean, he's just the guy that they hired to do the job and then go home.
He drove Aykroyd around.
Yeah, that's it. Here, she actually contributes. I mean, she's a historian. She knows New York. I mean, it really helped the story along, mm-hmm. which I wasn't really expecting. And I think that was a good add. Really, really liked her role. I think she actually was mostly toned down throughout the movie. I didn't think she, you know, people were, she was a loud screaming woman. I don't think she really was. She did a couple scenes, but overall she wasn't. So I enjoyed her. She made me laugh out loud a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I saw a story with her on, was it The View or something, where she's talking to Whoopi Goldberg, and she was talking about how the first time she knew that she wanted to be an actress was she saw Whoopi Goldberg when she was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And she's telling Whoopi this story and just saying how, you know, so I saw someone like me that looked like me, and I thought, I can do that. I can. It's just, you go find that on YouTube somewhere. It is one of the most, my heart.
Is it going to make me cry?
Yeah. My heart was like pumping blood extra time. It was a beautiful story, and you can find it. Go do it right now. Just pause. It's worth it. All right, Kate.
And we're back.
Yeah, exactly. It was that quick. Kate McKinnon, we talked about her already, but I don't know if you can talk about her enough. This is a woman who took a role that probably is, I don't know what it is on the paper, but she made it her own. Why do you think hers was so much more memorable, I guess, than the rest?
A lot of it has to do with the fact that she was very much a tomboy kind of character. She, you know, the other women were very much women. And I don't even know how to, what that even fully means. But
mostly they have vaginas, I think.
Well, no, it's just, I risk fumbling over my words and saying something that I never had intended. So I'll stop now. The Kate McKinnon's character very much felt like a grease monkey. She felt like the kind of person that was happiest with her hands deep into some piece of tech that she's either breaking down or building up. And it was that kind of free spirit, I am who I am, kind of tomboyish air that she brought to the cast that I really thoroughly enjoyed. And she was just silly. There were, you know, there's, of course, I think everybody who's seen the trailers knows the scene with the, you know, is it the wig or the hat?
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of thing, it's just, it's really funny. And It's one of the scenes that I could point to is when Patsy brings her uncle's hearse. Of course, Melissa McCarthy's character and Kristen Wiig's character they can't believe this. They're almost disgusted by it. But if you look at McKinnon, she is over there laughing and pumping her fist like, yeah, this is exactly what this team needs. It's that. That's what she brings, and I loved every bit of it.
To me, she was the one having the most fun. Every scene, like you were alluding to, every scene she's in, she's just having a blast. And I want to say, was that Paul Feig at the concert? I think it is, that played the hotel owner that made the shriek.
No.
Was it not? Who was it?
No, I forget his name, but that's definitely not Paul Feig. Paul Feig used to be an actor, but I don't know if he does much of it anymore. But no, I've seen that guy in a number of things, but no, that's not Paul Feig. But that scream is hysterical.
Oh my God. I was almost in tears from that. It's like, because, you know, he sets it up and he's like, you know, I have a very, you know, distinct yell or whatever it was that he said. And I'm just like, okay, well, I really hope we get to hear that. And then it goes on and then you hear it. I'm like, oh my God, that was so much better than I thought it was ever going to be. Well done.
You know what I say? Let's jump ahead. Kevin dabbles in web design, and I asked him to throw together maybe a couple of logos for us. Now's your moment. Pull it out.
Oh, sure.
I feel like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Okay, so now we get to the character that you and I disagree on, and that is Kevin, played by Chris Hemsworth. I loved Chris Hemsworth in this movie. I had a blast with him. I think ever since Vacation, I realized what a funny guy he can be. And he just seems like a genuinely charming, charming man. And some of the stuff that he did was so random. And, you know, answer the phone. I can't. It's in the aquarium. It's just like little things like that that I thought were hysterical. On the same token, I do think if that was flipped, people would be losing their minds. And I mentioned that earlier only because my daughter brought it up to me. She's like, now, Dad, you loved him. You thought it was hysterical. But if that was flipped where it was a gorgeous woman playing a dim bulb, people would be outraged. Do you agree with that statement before you tell me what you think of Chris?
Oh, there's always going to be some group that's going to be butthurt over it.
No, but legitimately, though, do you think, I mean, if it was flipped, would people be a little, would you be more offended?
Yes. Well, I wouldn't say I'd be more offended. I probably would of course, I'm not offended by Kevin, but if it was a woman, I would be like, oh God, guys, did we really have to go this route? Mm-hmm. Do we have to have yet another, hottie at the desk with the playmate attitude and the lights a little dim behind the eyes kind of character? Haven't we done this a million times? It would have been lazy, but making it a guy like that and allowing these women, especially Wiig's character, to just slobber all over him at every opportunity, I felt like was a fair turn.
Okay. It was just an honest question. I was just curious. So what did you think about Hemsworth? I said what I thought, but you have different feelings.
I can't stand him.
What?
I really just, that character from the first time I see him until he finally gets possessed and has some actual character, he's just boring. And it's the kind of stupid that I don't believe people are actually this stupid. Sure, there are people who wear frames with no glasses in them, but they're aware that there's no glasses. They just like the frame look. Mm-hmm. But it's not because, well, I think it's stupid, but it's not because they're lacking in intellect. It's just a style. To him, he actually thinks this is better. And I can't believe that there's someone whose vision is so bad that they have to wear glasses and they decide, well, I'm just not using the glasses because they're constantly dirty. And the phone's in the tank and this and that. I really did not like, I don't even know if another actor could have made me like him more. I just think the character was stupid. I think Chris Hemsworth just worked with what he had, but I didn't like him until until he finally got possessed. And then I had some fun with him. But until then, every time I saw him on the screen, I was like, oh, God.
Is it because in a world of like pretty fairly normal characters, he was the most outlandish?
To me, he was the most unbelievable.
Gotcha. I mean, it is a movie about ghosts.
True. But at least the other characters, I could believe that those characters could exist in this world. He's stupider than anybody else in that movie by a long shot. And yeah. By the way, Michael McDonald is the person who played the theater manager.
Like the singer?
No. No, he is an actor. He was in The Boss. Okay. He was in Spy. He was on Community. He does quite a bit of things.
Okay. All right. Well, I got all excited. I'm like, man, the guy that did the Running Scared song? Because that's cool.
I think he used to be on Mad TV as well.
All right. Well, I mean, is there anybody else in the cast you really want to talk about? I mean, I don't remember her name, but she played the mayor's assistant. I thought she was over the top. I thought her character was ridiculous.
I didn't get that at all. I wouldn't say I enjoyed her, but she didn't bother me.
She didn't bother me. But if I went to think of characters that were over the top, she's the one that I thought, you know, hey, let's just pretend. And you know, I would stop pretending. I'd be like, let's pretend. Let's go along with the fraud. It's cool. Let's make people think that this isn't real. And at some point, I think someone should have said, no, we're probably not going to do that anymore. What'd you think of Andy Garcia?
He was fine. I was kind of surprised that an actor of, I don't know if I want to say his caliber, because his caliber kind of goes up and down over the years. But I was surprised that he was in it. And he was kind of like just one of those actors filling a role. It was nothing special about it. Nothing bothersome. He was just kind of there. It wasn't his show and he knew it.
Mm-hmm. All right. The cameos. Let's talk about the cameos. First cameo was we had Bill Murray show up as the doctor that's basically debunking everyone. He gets tossed out a window. Did you like
the hat?
Did you like Bill Murray here?
I was surprised by just how much screen time he actually got.
Yeah, he came back twice.
And I don't know if maybe that was a part of his negotiations. Like, well, if I'm going to do this, then I might as well get a little bit of screen time. Or if he genuinely felt like this is a movie I want to support, so let me make sure that I've got enough screen time in it that people realize that I am giving this my support. But either way, it was funny. I was glad to see that he took on a role that's the exact opposite of Venkman. I mean, he's doesn't believe in ghosts. He's a complete skeptic. And to have him kind of go out the way that he did with a demon pushing him out of the window, I thought was really well done. But my favorite of the cameos, but I did enjoy it. And I was really glad he was there.
Did he live? Because he got thrown out a window.
I don't know if he lived or not, because once he went out, and then they looked out the window. He just kind of disappeared. Now, you never saw him again.
Right. And I'm wondering, I'm like, did Wig just kill him? Because basically it would be on her because she let the demon fly out and kill him.
I have no idea.
That'd be a cool, like maybe in a sequel, he's on a roof somewhere. Just show a picture of Bill Murray on some random roof.
Or he's in a hospital just covered in casts.
Yes.
You know, his legs kind of cranked up in the air.
I would like that. That would be great. How about Danny Aykroyd as the cab driver?
He was my second favorite cameo. It was brief. It was funny. He kind of played it like he was, what was his stance? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Raymond Stantz. Because he had that knowledge about, oh, that's just a class four, blah, 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 blah. You know, full torso vapor evaporation or whatever it was. And then he came on, said his bit, was funny, and took off. To me, that's the way a cameo should be done.
Absolutely. In fact, just seeing him made me remember why I love Dan Aykroyd. I just love Dan Aykroyd as a person, mm-hmm. As an actor. And the one thing I think people should remember, this entire franchise, this entire idea, that's all from Dan Aykroyd. He created this world. I mean, Ivan Reitman and Harold Ramis helped them expand it and bring it down to Earth because he had a much crazier... Do you know what his original plan was? To have it in outer space in the future?
Yes. Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, it's a cool, cool idea. He's a very smart guy and he's very enjoyable and he's just seems like a decent man. And he's still married to Donna Dixon. God damn him. Oh, you stole her from me. I never had a shot. What about my favorite cameo? Was Ernie Hudson.
At the very end?
At the very end. I'm not going to pile him in there like a bunch of flapjacks. I thought that was hysterical. I was in tears from laughing at him.
He was great. And you know, what's interesting is by the time the ending came, I kind of forgot that he hadn't showed up yet. Mm-hmm. And so when she said her uncle was coming by or something, part of my mind, you know, went ding. And then, of course, there he comes out of the car, and everybody in the audience was clapping and glad to see him. And I was certainly glad to see him as well. He was really funny, and that's a good spot for him.
I tell you what, of all the cameos, he's the one I would rather, I would like to see, you know, if they make another movie, I would want to see his role expanded. He made me laugh that much. What about Sigourney Weaver?
I liked her. I wasn't quite sure because she was on there so briefly.
And she was mom, right? She was Holtzman's mom, basically.
Well, I don't know if she was Holtzman's
or mentor.
Mom
mentor.
Or
mentor.
Yeah, a mentor character. But she was so, I didn't know, did she like Holtzman? Were they buddies? Was she critical of Holtzman? But then when the Holtzman had, or when she said, well, where's the warning light? And then Holtzman said, warning lights are for dudes, which I thought was hysterical. I was like, only guys need warning lights. I didn't quite know what to make of her, to be honest. But I was glad to see her pop up.
Absolutely. And you got it. Yeah, maybe she could come back if they make a sequel too. How about the nod to Harold Ramis, the statue of Harold Ramis outside the dean's office? That was really cool.
Very quick. Mm-hmm. If you almost blink, you miss it. But that was great.
Yeah, and very respectful. Like, for you fans that were worried that they weren't being respectful, it sure seemed respectful to me. Mm-hmm. But what do I know? I'm just part of the internet. All right, story.
Whoa. You're missing two.
Who am I missing?
Well, Annie Potts.
Oh, Annie Potts. Oh, I did forget Annie Potts. Shame on me.
And for me, in the original film, what Annie Potts brought to the film is what I kind of wished Hemsworth's character could have brought. She was sassy. She wasn't taking shit off nobody. Mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoyed seeing her on the screen. Whereas Kevin, I could not wait for him to be gone. She's the kind of receptionist you need. Someone who's not going to take any guff off of a government official or some whining customer on the phone.
I guess
she brought that to that role of the hotel manager.
I could see that, but I do like, I liked Kevin because Kevin was different. It wasn't the same character, but I get what you're saying. I see what you mean.
And the last
Who's
cameo.
The other one? Slimer?
Slimer. He was my favorite.
Are you kidding me?
I loved it. It was so
You're
almost
so ridiculous.
Stupid. It was stupid and over the top that all of a sudden there's a Mama Slimer sitting in the car next to him as they're driving the Ectomobile all over this battle. But it was so funny and incredulous. I was laughing every time he was on the screen doing something. And I consider him a cameo.
I would agree with that. The thing I love is, you know, especially on the interwebs, when they say how him having the wife or whatever, that's so cheesy and ridiculous, unlike the original movie. I'm like, did you watch him in the original movie? He was a stupid, ridiculous character then. That's the characters.
Come on, folks. It's Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's not such high art. I don't know.
This wasn't The Conjuring.
People make me laugh. All right, I think that's it. Well, Stay Puft. You got Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. You had that cameo.
Yes, and they had him come in as that
hot air balloon.
Air balloon. Oh, God, that was funny. Crushing the Ghostbusters beneath it.
I can't move my hand.
Oh, God.
So now what did you think about the story? I mean, there are definitely some similarities to the original, so definitely a remake, but they also kind of went their own direction in several different ways. I think they made the characters a little bit different. They tweaked everybody. They tweaked the story. They made a human kind of responsible. What'd you think? Kind of almost, you know what? I almost got a vibe like Paul Feig was making Ghostbusters 2 a little better because, you know, they had a guy that was kind of relatable to the ghosts and everything and got everything going and he sucked. And here, at least the guy made sense.
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you think of the story twists and turns they took here? Anything you didn't like, didn't work for you?
Well, I really enjoyed the story. It was nice to see a human be the cause of these metaphysical shenanigans, especially a character like Rowan, who, you know, grew up bullied and somewhat abused, forgotten by society. I do have questions as to how he became so intelligent and was able to create the paranormal energy enhancing devices that he made. especially considering Holtzman was kind of looking at it like, whoa, this is probably pretty close to our tech, and he's doing this all on his own.
Well, I mean, if she came up with it, why couldn't he come up with it?
Well, he could, but I would like to have seen some kind of, I don't know, maybe the movie could have had a prologue of him as a youth or something, being a science geek and being abused for it. I don't know. Mm. But he seemed like he had a lot of technology at his disposal that I wasn't quite sure how he got, especially considering how expensive some of this stuff had to be. Even if you're dumpster diving, you got to head down to Radio Shack and pick up a fuse or two. But I liked that he was breaking down these ley line areas in order to create a nexus point where the spirit world can come through. The only thing that I really wish had been done differently is that we would have seen how he got so smart, and that Kevin would have been killed off in his initial scene. Gosh,
so angry, man. Like, we want to see this Rowan growing up reading a book. That sounds boring.
I don't need to see him growing up reading a book, but just, I don't know, just a little more backstory maybe than we got. But I did like
I do agree. We didn't get much backstory other than his monologue. That was it. Right. That's it.
I thought actually Melissa McCarthy was able to bring more pathos to him than the actual character did, because you could tell she felt a lot of the same things mm-hmm. he felt, because she'd mm-hmm. grown up believing in something that other people didn't. She had kind of been ridiculed for it. She was at the ass end of the collegiate world because of her beliefs. And she sympathized, mm-hmm. but she was someone who took all those things and made a positive out of it, and he went the other route. So I think she actually humanized him more than anybody did.
Well, I didn't think he did a very good job. The monologue was fine. It just got a little ridiculous. I'm like, what? Just shoot him already. What? This is like a Bond villain. Why is he still talking?
Right.
Take him out. So that was interesting. My missed opportunity, I talked about this beginning. The thing that I disliked most about the movie was the 15 minutes after the opening. Like, from the point up until they get to the middle, the finger office, it just felt like nothing was gelling. It didn't feel like the jokes were working. I even turned my daughter, I was watching it with her, and she just like, what are they doing? And I'm like, you got me. But right now, I'm thinking the internet was right. And, you know, I hate to say that because I wanted to like the movie. I wanted to give it a fair shot. But those 15 minutes were rough for me. Some of the jokes just weren't landing. There was a lot of bathroom humor. There was like poop jokes and fart jokes. And it was just like stuff that didn't work for me. And it's not just because they were poop or fart jokes. They just weren't funny, I didn't think. And then they finally got to that point where the guy's flipping the bird every which way but from Sunday, and I'm laughing my ass off, and I'm like, okay, finally we're getting a rhythm. We're getting a vibe with these ladies. They're finally gelling together. They're building their chemistry, whatever. And Wig's turning herself loose a little bit. She's actually having a little bit more fun. McCarthy's got kind of the exposition out of the way, and it started to gel from there forward. But, man, those 15 minutes, I was concerned. That's really my biggest concern. Did you have anything besides Kevin?
Not really.
No?
No, everything else worked well. I liked the little jokes about the soup with Melissa McCarthy and always getting a tub of broth and, you know, half a wonton.
I just want a respectable ratio of wonton.
And then at the very
soup.
End, she gets nothing but wontons, as though that's what... That was his gesture. Like, here's all the wontons I have denied you over the years.
So funny.
And she's like, I don't need more. I just want a respectable ratio of wonton to soup. No, I did. I really, really enjoyed it. And it was light when it needed to be light, got heavy when it needed to be heavy. It didn't try and be the original. Mm-hmm. It went its own way. And I'm really pleased with what they did. Did you want to talk about 3D versus non-3D?
Yeah, I didn't see it. You saw it in 3D?
I saw it in 3D, and I got to say, I normally hate 3D because I feel like it's an unnecessary expense that they're charging me to watch an inferior version of a movie. Mm-hmm. But with this one, much like they did with Carl Urban's Dread, they utilized the dark space, the black space around the frame. It's as though they shrunk the movie a little bit, so they had this extra space on the screen that they could project particle effects and things into, so that it went beyond the frame into the black and it felt like it was coming more at you. Mm-hmm. They did it in Dread to great effect, and I felt like they did it in this film to really great effect with the proton streams and ghost particles and all sorts of things happening in those black spaces that I really enjoyed. I wouldn't say that it had a great depth of field throughout the entire film, because really it's hard for me to notice those kinds of things. I'm so focused on individual faces or performances to me to really see, especially in a comedy, to see if there's a good 3D depth of field. But in the allowing the effects to expand beyond the frame, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I think that people should give the 3D version of this one a watch. If you're only going to go see it once, see it in 3D. If you're going to see it twice, well, make it one of the two. But definitely give it a shot, because I did enjoy it.
Now, I got to ask you, because you and I see eye to eye on Dredd's 3D. Like, that's some of the best 3D of the last few years. Is it comparable to that?
Oh, yes.
Is it? Okay.
Very comparable. Of course, you know, without the blood and bullets well, yeah, flying yeah, aspect. Yeah. But yeah, very much like that.
Do you see that? The eyes.
All right, Holtzman, now's not the time you're messing with
no.
That is unsettling.
Hey, Patty, can I get some illumination on this subject?
Yeah, I can put some light on that.
Oh, boy.
Where are these ghosts coming from?
You're taking this pretty boy back to the lab.
Holtzman?
Yup.
Power us up.
Okay. In the pleasantest things.
In here? Okay, Aaron, come here. I'm acting with this?
Like, why am I operating the untested nuclear laser?
You have the longest arms. This is just a little bit of grounding so you don't die immediately.
You have done this before, right?
Ready.
Aim. Fire!
Oh, what? Well,
I want to talk a little bit about Paul Feig. And I should preface this because, full disclosure, a while back, I wrote an article on why Ghostbusters wasn't going to destroy your childhood. And Paul Feig actually messaged us directly and said, thank you for the well-written article. And we, you know, one of the best ones that I've written. I'm not making that up. Justin can attest to that. He did write us. Really appreciate it. But I also don't want people to think, well, I'm just going with him just because he liked the article. No, I've been a Paul Feig fan for a long time. Freaks and Geeks, Spy, The Heat, Bridesmaids. I don't know if you like those movies, but I love them. Love them.
If you don't like Bridesmaids, I don't want to know you.
If you don't like Spy, I don't want to know you. I love that movie.
Those movies are funny.
They are funny as hell. So I went into this, you know, while a lot of people were freaking out because of the cast, they changed the cast, they did all that other stuff. I didn't have that concern because Paul Feig is a director I trust. I've seen him do a lot of different kinds of comedy. But I've never really seen him do action. I mean, there's a little bit of action in The Heat, and then I saw Spy, and there's a little bit more action. But with the effects and everything else, that's a huge step for a director to take. So I wasn't concerned, but I was like, man, I don't know. That might be where he struggles. Not the comedy, but the effects and the stunts and whatnot. I didn't have that issue at all. And I think they constructed a great setup, and the effects were really cool. The ghosts were really cool. Like we said, the designs were really cool. Did you have any concerns about the production at all, or are you a fan?
I'm a huge Paul Feig fan. He really has yet to let me down. I think Bridesmaids is one of the funniest movies of, you know, this decade. The Heat, I like well enough. I don't dislike it. I think McCarthy's character is really funny in it. Spy is one of the most hysterical things that I think Melissa McCarthy's done. Mm-hmm. She just pulled that off, but that his direction is what allowed that to happen. So when I heard he was going to be doing Ghostbusters, it filled me with confidence that this was going to be handled in the way that it should be. And the action scenes I actually found to be really, really exciting, especially mm-hmm. towards the end when the dogs and cats and mass hysteria and everything's happening. And all the ghosts are charging in. These girls kick ass. And not just with the proton pack, but they're breaking out the ecto chipper and the...
Oh, yeah. Holtzman had that action scene, that Jedi magic action scene, whatever the hell that was. She's shooting everything. Like, it was a badass scene.
Yeah, I mean, they're all just laying in to these ghosts. And I think that maybe this is the one area in which this is truly superior to the first one, is that this is more action in it. Mm-hmm. They're not just handling one ghost at a time. I mean, they're handling basically an army of them coming at them. And they're throwing grenades and shooting and blasting and punching. Really fun. Really thoroughly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised at just how action-y it got.
I was surprised at how they took a story and made it its own. Because I really thought, like, it's going to be so hard to avoid copying the first two movies at some degree. And I think they really, I mean, they paid a lot of homage to it. And we even got to the firehouse and whatnot. But overall, it's really its own movie. And they crafted a story that made it its own thing. And I think I didn't see that coming. The one thing I wanted to ask you about was they actually show the vortex, like the difference between the living and the dead. I didn't expect that at all. Do you think that's something that would come into play maybe in the future movies?
Well, once you've created something for one film, it's always going to be there for future ones if they decide to go that route. I was shocked that it went that route as well. I figured they would have saved Wiggs' character. No, it was McCarthy's character who got pulled in. I thought they would have just saved her at the last second, but instead she went right down into that vortex and Wig, without any hesitation, dove in and chased after her, and I was impressed. I love it when a story does things that I wouldn't have expected, because far too often writers can be lazy and just go with a trope or a cliche, and they avoided quite a bit of that in this one. When they didn't get the firehouse initially, I was really glad.
I was shocked. I was actually surprised, genuinely surprised at that.
Well, I remembered enough from the trailers that these girls were working above a Chinese restaurant that it didn't totally surprise me, but I was glad because it was a very early indication that we're not doing of the previous Ghostbusters. We're doing something all our own. And of course, at the very end of it, when the government says, we'll give you anything you want to or you need to continue your work, and they get the firehouse, I'm like, all right, now they're set up for the second one. I could see them maybe bringing in another Ghostbuster to round out, to give a fifth one or maybe two more, maybe what are they called when they work for a
franchise?
Free?
Volunteers?
No, they're the people who work in like offices for free.
Homeless
they're
men.
Being taught.
Homeless people.
Well, no, they're
vagabonds.
The word is completely escaping me.
I don't
know
what you're going for.
But just, bring more people into the Ghostbusters fold. Not a lot, but one or two, I think would be a good thing.
Yeah, I still want franchises. I think it would be cool to have a franchise, where you've got them popping up all over the country. Maybe our team would go to other locations or something. Get out in New
York.
Maybe
they're opening a franchise in Jersey or something.
I would actually say go West Coast somewhere. Go to Salem. Go to somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, somewhere that has a different texture, a different feel, a different visual sentiment, style. I think that would be cool because we've had three movies now with New York. I want to go somewhere else. I really do. Go to a beach.
Intern.
You finally got it?
Found it. Intern. just have some young college student interning there, and all of a sudden they're having to fight ghosts right alongside. I think that'd be cute.
So what do you wish they had done different, or, just it didn't work for you, so, however you look at it, but you wish they would have done something different. And what would it be? How would you have done it?
In the first film, and in the second film, you very much got a sense that this was a New York movie, because you got a lot of tracking shots through the city, famous locations, things like that. New York was very much its own character in the films.
Well, at the very end, you always had New Yorkers going, yay!
Yeah. I didn't really get that sense of New York as a character too much in this one. And I don't know really what the difference is between this one and the original that makes me feel that way, but nothing about it felt particularly New Yorkish. In fact, some of the scenes on the streets probably could have been done in LA and I never would have known the difference. Not making New York more a presence in the movie, I think was a little bit of a letdown, but not enough certainly to diminish my enthusiasm.
The only thing I would rather have is just let Wig be Wig a little bit more. I think we've got the characters established. Let her you know, fly if they do any more. That's the only thing. I think that first half hour, 45 minutes, where she just wasn't being, she was just being completely the straight person. I don't think that helped her character. I think it would have been a funnier movie. I really liked the movie, but I think it could have been better had she been allowed, or had she done more of her just normal tics and mannerisms. I mean, she was very, now maybe that's the direction. Maybe Paul wanted her to be very.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah. We're calling him Paul now. You know, we're on first name basis.
Cause he wrote us.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He probably did it on accident. His assistant did it through his account. No, that's what I would do. That's the only thing I would do different. And that's only because I'm a huge Wig fan and I just would have wanted that. I do think as much as I enjoyed Hemsworth, I think that could have been toned down some, maybe not so ridiculous. And if they do another movie, I would really like, okay, you know, he's fit in, he's either a Ghostbuster and he makes a few mistakes or something, but not quite so obviously dumb.
I mean, a hot dog over a house. That is the dumbest logo ever.
You know, because it's floating. It's similar.
A ghost with boobs. Ghost. I can make them bigger. Oh, jeez.
That one was pretty lame. I kept waiting for, like, the actual slogan or the actual logo. And, yeah, we got a hot dog over a house. That was odd.
Well, we did get it from...
Yeah, we got it. I'm just saying...
From Robert Corddry's brother's character.
I was just... Is that who that
Nate
was?
Corddry. Yeah, Nate Corddry. Yeah.
He was pretty funny.
Yeah, because he kept painting and Badger was like, don't keep. He's like, what? Psh, psh, psh. It was funny.
All right. Now, a lot of people compare this to the original, and I get it. I mean, it's a remake, so there's absolutely going to be those comparisons. How would you explain, like, what's your opinion? Does it compare to the original? Is it better, worse, or it's a class of all its own?
I wouldn't call it a remake, because for me, a remake is kind of like what Gus Van Sant tried to do with Psycho. A remake to me says you're going to take the original story, the original kinds of characters, and just do it over again. And that is not what they did with this movie. To me, it's much more. And people can accuse me of splitting hairs if they like. That's fine. But to me, it's a rebooting of it. They're taking the central idea of a group of people who are going to be fighting ghosts. And then they took that idea in a different direction than the original films were. So they were rebooting it into something new, something fresh. And I would explain to someone that if you're going in looking to watch the first Ghostbusters, you're kind of robbing yourself of the experience of seeing something new. Don't go in with any kind of expectation about what you think you're going to see. Go in just to see what they're going to give you. And I think you're going to have a really good time with it. But if you have a checklist of things that it needs to do in order to meet your requirements for a reboot, remake, whatever, then, you know, you're going to be a little disappointed because it veers off quite a bit from the original. But we already have the original.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need another one of those. If I want that, I've got it on my shelf. I can watch that anytime.
And it holds up.
Yeah, it's still great.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to know a movie that destroyed the Ghostbusters franchise, it'd be the second one, not this one.
Yeah. And I didn't hate the second one.
I didn't. I hate the ending. I think the ending's awful. But the movie itself is
Oh, the whole Statue of Liberty walking around is like Mechagodzilla.
Yes.
Yeah.
So bad.
A little shitty. But, you know, I loved Viggo, the Carpathian. I loved, what's his name? McNichol?
I didn't like him. I thought he was awful. But split.
I think it was that accent that won me over.
Oh, God. I liked Rowan better. And if you're going to have
it, yeah.
I liked Rowan a lot better. A lot better. When it comes to comparing the original, I'd go the same way. I would say it's a reboot. I don't think it's a remake because it's, you know, it's kind of making its own thing. You know, some people are like, well, yeah, it's just the remake just with women. No, not really. I mean, the story is much different. To agree, you have a giant monster coming out of a building. Yeah, there's similarities. And I think most of that is because they felt obligated to pay homage to the fans, the same people that are, you know, complaining about it. And I think they did that. I think they paid homage. They did enough to make it a little different. But the central building isn't like, it isn't a something historical or anything. It's basically where...
Does that hotel actually exist?
I don't know. But it's...
I know the building in the original film exists. They just added, what, like 8 or 9 floors to it,
mm-hmm.
to change it up a little bit, but the actual building does exist. I didn't know if this hotel did or not.
No, you know what? This could have used the scene where you had them walking upstairs, though. That could have been. That would have been nice. Nice little mush. No, but this one, you know, it's basically just where the evil intersects, the center of the city or whatever that's where the building is. And I get it. There's enough new here to make it a reboot instead of a remake. There's enough here to make it a remake instead of a reboot. I don't know. It is splitting hairs. It's whatever, however you see it. I don't really care. The original is never going to be touched for me. And I think you couldn't come close to the original no matter how hard you tried, simply because you don't have Bill Murray anymore. He is so much ingrained into why Ghostbusters is so great,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there's just nobody to replace him. So to be perfectly honest, from my point of view, going with women as opposed to men made more sense to me. Made more sense to me because you're separating yourself from the original, because you know that's all people would be saying is that guy, whoever they cast as that guy would not be Bill Murray. And it's nothing against Ramis and Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson. It's just he was just so important to all the humor in that original movie. Every joke, most of the jokes you remember are from Bill Murray. And that's just how that is. I loved it. I mean, I didn't think it was the best movie ever. I think there's some changes. The first 15 minutes are really where it hurt for me a little bit. But outside of that, it's a fun movie. I had a blast. Everybody around me had a good time. That's what I want from a movie. That's what I need. And it's way better than Ghostbusters 2. So much better.
Oh, yeah.
You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car.
You didn't disclose that the vehicle was going to be a hearse.
I'm sorry. My uncle owns a funeral home, not an enterprise rent-a-car.
Hope you checked to see there wasn't a body in the back.
I don't really know.
You didn't check?
I mean, I was in a hurry. I checked to see if we had gas. That was more important.
So there is a body?
Let Holzman check. She likes that type of stuff.
Yeah, I can think of 7 good uses of a cadaver today.
No, Dr. Frankenstein. We got to turn in the body if there's one in there.
All right.
Don't do that.
Now, we get to the part that we should probably talk about. We've talked about it before, but we need to talk about it. No movie... If you could think of any other movie that this has happened to, please tell me. I couldn't think of a single movie that has gotten this much hate and anger and frustrations. And if you want to see something fortuitous, this Rowan character being bullied, I mean, God, it's like it's a symbol of the movie almost.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolutely insane thing that I've never, ever seen happen. Some people are saying it's sexism. Some people are saying it's purist. What is your take on why people are so venomous over this remake?
I just think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think a lot of it does have to do with purists who want, for whatever reason, the exact same thing to be delivered to them that they've had before. I do think that there is a certain amount of sexism that is involved with this. I mean, all you have to do is look at stories about, you know, Gamergate or any of those other things where females are entering something that has been traditionally more of a male thing, and they're met with a lot of hostility and a lot of anger that I think comes from a sexist place with some people. I will not accuse every person who didn't want to see this movie of sexism, because that doesn't cover everybody, but I do think it covers some. And that makes me sad, because I think women are as equal to men, if not superior in so many ways. I don't understand this feeling people have regarding women. I've always been surrounded by incredibly powerful, strong, intelligent women. Every one of my books has strong female characters right there at the center of it. So for me, it's a non-issue, but for a lot of others, it's not. And they, you know, they have a voice and they've got the internet and they're going to make sure you hear it. But I think it was just a perfect storm of purist and sexist attitudes kind of coming together to form this storm of hate that the movie initially got. And I'm so glad that the critical reaction to it has been in large part positive. I'm really, really glad.
Were you ever worried? Like, man, what if the internet ends up getting this one right? Then we're never
going to I was worried that the internet wasn't going to get it right, but I was worried that they were going to feel like they were vindicated.
I understand.
I was afraid that maybe the movie did fail, not because of the women or not because they went their own route with it, but just because of filmmaking issues, that the movie wasn't going to be what it could have been. And so these people who hated the movie before they even saw it were going to feel like, aha, see, we told you.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily so far, that has not been the case.
Man, I don't even get it. Yeah, I do think there's a certain level of sexism in a male-dominated industry. You know, a lot of this has always been guys. And you're taking a beloved classic and basically re-skinning it with women instead of men. Okay, I get it. Who gives a shit? I just don't understand why that's something you're so passionate about. It doesn't end your movie. You know, the original movie isn't going anywhere. It's still going to have the same dudes in it. Remaking it is going to be different no matter who you put in it. So who cares if it's women versus men? And it's not the thing that bugged me most about that part of it. And please understand, I'm not saying, just like Justin, I'm not saying everyone that was against it is a sexist. I know there are a lot of people that are just purists that either want it left alone or, you know, they just want it. They're worried about the kind of humor. It's not going to be the same kind of humor. Whatever they're worried about. I understand not everybody's a sexist. But there are some, many that are. And they have made it vocally. And I've seen so many comments, people, oh, I'm not sexist, followed up by you put a bunch of chicks in it. That's sexist, jackass. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. Maybe you don't realize it's coming across that way, but there are definitely a lot of people that are just angry because it's women versus a bunch of guys. And part of me wonders, would the reaction have been the same had they done a remake with just guys or split it up and had two guys or two girls or whatever? You know, would that have made a difference? I realize we live in an environment where everything's like a PC culture and they are putting, you know, characters and changing characters up for the sake of, you know, it looks better to their consumers and whatnot, help sell a product. I get that. I think that Paul Feig was casting four of the funniest people he knew in a movie. And I think even two of them he picked because they're so ingrained in New York culture, you know, with Saturday Night Live. That's what I think happened. I think he's a huge fan of these four women. That's why they're in the movie. That's totally what I think happened. I don't think it was a sexist thing at all. I think he's somebody, if you look at his work, has historically worked with women and he's enjoyed it. So why not?
I mean, do you think it would have been better if this had starred Seth Rogen?
Oh, God. Ghostbusters smoking pot. That would happen.
Oh, shit. Using their proton pack as a bong. That would have been funny.
Now you want to see that.
I mean, sure, a Bill Hader probably would have fit in perfectly with this. But just because you're casting guys doesn't mean you're getting a funnier movie. And Melissa McCarthy is probably the funniest person working in Hollywood right now, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I concur. And I think her and Wig really work well together. They've got a chemistry, a real chemistry. I don't know if it's friendship, but it's a chemistry. And the other two, Jones and McKinnon, they fit right in. So I still have never seen anything like it. I have never seen people go out of their way to ruin the experience for other people.
Even Star Trek people didn't hate on Chris Pine and the rest of them the way this movie got. I think the only more abused movies are the prequels for Star Wars.
At least that earned it. I mean, come on. There was some earn in there.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't hate them till after the movie.
Yeah, we saw them and we're like, and hell, Phantom Menace, people didn't even hate them until like a year later. And they're like, that really wasn't very good.
Give up the ghost on that part in the pun until recently.
I just didn't get it, man. And so many people, like I would say, I'm going to see it later this week. And people would say, well, enjoy having your childhood raped. Really? It isn't even out yet. How are you so... Why do you hate this so much? Reviews are coming out, and you know, if you say a mention to, hey, reviews are pretty good, so you know, might actually be an alright movie. Yeah, they're all bought. Really, all the critics were bought. All of them, 75% of them were paid off to say something positive. People that don't say things positive about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is certified fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Very few movies get that these days. One's got a 74% rating on the tomato meter across all of the critics. Not to say that that in any way is a signal of its overall quality, because I always say mileage differs.
Absolutely.
But as a cult, as a piece of cultural art media, this film has won over a large number of people. Let it go. All right, also, let it go.
Absolutely. My God, that's so exhausting.
Go see the movie. Enjoy yourself. It will give you a couple of hours or so of laughter and smiles. And you know what? I may go see it again today. I just saw it Thursday. I wouldn't mind going to see it again.
I saw some blog put up an article that said male critics didn't like it. Female critics liked it. I'm like, what? Who's sitting there counting that? I mean, you really have that much free time to figure out who's a male, who's a female, and who's giving it a positive, who's giving it. Shut up and get on with your life.
I didn't know 74% of critics were women.
I didn't
either.
That's
a pretty high percentage.
It's a ridiculous statement. It's one that isn't backed up with anything. It's just for clicks. And the internet has been feeding it nonstop. Just feeding. It's just, I'm so glad it's on the screens now and people can go see it themselves and, you know, like it or don't like it. As long as you like it or don't like it for your own reasons, as opposed to whatever, you know, some of this internet crap is. And it might even be like a vocal minority. I don't know. But it sure seems like a lot of people at this point.
Just see Tarzan.
No, don't. Go see this instead. It's better than Tarzan. Tarzan was decent. It was good, but this was better and more fun.
I meant Tarzan as Punishment.
Oh, no, that's actually pretty good. I saw it. I was forced to it. It was actually pretty good.
Oh, no, only 36% of people were bought to review that one.
Their checks cleared Ghostbusters. Yep, for Ghostbusters, the checks cleared, man. Oh, they had more money in the pocket. I get it. Oh, man. All right. Well, do you want to see more? Do you want to see more with this team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. And, you know, I would like to see a male character introduced. He doesn't have to be big, fighter, rough and tumble. He can be a bookworm intern, like I said, who comes in. But I would like to eventually see the cast represent our culture as a whole. You know, it doesn't all have to be all female. Doesn't have to be all male. It doesn't have to have, you know, a white person, a Hispanic person, a black person. It doesn't have to go that far with representing everyone, but just something a little more like the America we know. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely, even if it was just these four, and Kevin died in between the films.
God.
We wouldn't even get a flashback. People just like move on. Just these four, I would still go and see the next one. Happily so.
Did you really just say you hope he died in the middle?
I didn't like him. Kevin, I didn't like you.
I hope he hears. I hope Chris Hemsworth calls you personally. Say, why didn't you lie to me? Yeah, that's my Hemsworth right there.
That's an incredible Hemsworth you've got there. Oi! Shrimp on the Bobby.
Oh, I'm looking forward. I want more. I don't know if it's going to do more. I think it's going to have it's having a pretty solid weekend, opening weekend. But this is going to be a movie where, you know, legs are going to carry it. So we'll see how it does in the long run. I hope it does well. I hope it does great overseas. I hope it makes its money back. So at least then they're vindicated from that respect.
I would like, however, I would like it if they would bring more of the metaphysical research into it, kind of like what they did with the first one with the whole, the book. They've referenced several kind of spiritual tomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That they were using to understand what was going on. I would like to see if in a future movie they'll maybe get back to that or have one of these characters who has, yeah, because we've got the science characters down. We've already got an engineer. We've got a quantum physicist. I'm not quite sure what Melissa McCarthy's specialty is. I think she should be the one who starts getting into the books and maybe learning about, you know, what a pentagrams and all that mean and what are some of these locations in the world that could be prone to supernatural outbreaks. I would like to see that aspect brought into it. We've got the science, now bring the metaphysics.
That could be interesting. That can be interesting. We're going to see what happens. Well, you'll see in the long run. You know,
Tobin's guide. That's it.
Tobin's guide. And right. Maybe it'll be Kevin's guide. How about that? We just changed the name. And Kevin's a more important part of the next movie.
Oh, yeah. What would be funny? Okay, this would be funny if he actually did try and create some kind of, you know, as the ladies are killing off ghosts and learning more, maybe he's trying to put together some kind of categorizing system or, you know, just generally trying to come to an understanding of what these things are and actually made something that had value.
Maybe he could trigger the ghost explosion.
In spite of himself, he did something good.
Well, I like Kevin. Kevin's spinoff. That's what I want to see. Yeah. Oh,
man, yeah. I wouldn't see that if it was the last movie on Earth.
2 hours of Kevin. 2 hours of Kevin searching for
rubbing
his
eyes when things are loud. No glasses. Ugh.
We said here and he's rubbing his eyes. I like how they had to point that joke out. I'm like, I got it. You didn't have to point it out. It was pretty funny. All right. Well, obviously we ain't afraid of no ghosts. Hopefully you guys aren't either. Go see the movie. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. You can join our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. We're on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Find other episodes, reviews, and other info at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Our email is feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Remember to grab the hoe on the go there with our Apple or Android apps. We are on Spotify now, or subscribe in your podcast app of choice. Justin, thank you for joining me for this bustin' edition of The Hollywood Outsider.
And hey, and remember, when someone asks you if you're a god, what do you say?
You say yes. All right. Take care, guys.